that God has done for us when we are born again by His Spirit is that He gives to us, in that moment, the ability to see the kingdom of God. He goes on to say in John chapter 3 that unless you become like a little child, humble yourself like a little child, you'll not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is for those who are already able to see it. You know, it's like standing out in the parking lot wishing you could get through the turnstile. There's certain things you have to do, and one of them is to humble yourself as a little child. Now, what does it mean to humble yourself as a little child in that context? It means specifically this, that you are willing to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit regardless of what your mind is telling you. Until our mind is thoroughly renewed by God, we have to yield to what the Spirit is doing, even when our mind can't comprehend it. Now, there's an interesting phenomenon taking place in our generation, and it has to do with the awakening of spiritual hunger. Are you aware that this society is desperate for the supernatural? When you consider the multi-billion-dollar phony hotline, psychic hotline telephone scam that people are just buying into across the board, the upsurge of spiritualism worldwide, and the phenomenal success of this whole Harry Potter series, those are indications that people are trying to satisfy what the Creator put in us, a desire for something that's beyond what we can see or touch. Now, of interest to me is that historically, there has been a lot of theology in the church that has set itself against the human body. Gnostics were an early heresy, and they continue to raise their head in every generation. And they say that what happens in the spirit is what's important, but what happens in the flesh, well, you know, you just have to put up with that. Do you realize that your body is supposed to be an instrument of God? And it's not simply, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable spiritual act of worship. Now, what does it mean to present your body to God? Well, it doesn't mean simply withholding yourself from immorality. It means to bring yourself into a place where physically you become attuned to the supernatural. Now, another of the things that happens when we're born again is for the first time in our existence and time and space, we are released from the governance of our soul as the way through which we move through life. Up until that time, we spend all of our time doing whatever our intellect and our appetites direct us to do. And so we come to the Lord at whatever age we come, having been thoroughly entrenched in responding to the sensory information that comes to us through our touch and taste and see and feel kind of system. Now, do you really think that when you come to the Lord, He's not interested in that very system as a testimony to Him? See, in this congregation, it is not uncommon for someone to look at another and say, "Whoa, do you feel that?" "Do I feel what?" "Well, the presence of the Lord is here." "Well, how do you know?" "Well, because God's everywhere. You know, wherever two or three are gathered, He's there." No. There is, in fact, something that we've come to understand and speak about in terms of the manifest presence of God. It is not the general presence of the Lord. It's the specific presence of God in time and space. He comes into a room, a gathering upon a person, into a situation, and it is possible to know by smell, taste, touch, and sight, and feeling what it's like to have God there. You know this? That's one of the reasons that you are distinguished from some of the other brethren, because they know God doesn't do that anymore. That is a statement of unbelief that cuts you off from the reality of the very God you pursue. Now, on a particular occasion, Jesus was, you know, he was having a little chat with his opponent. And his opponent is trying to induce him to do something. And the Lord said this, "It is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, where did the Lord get that? He got it from a statement that Moses made in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's take a quick look at it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Moses is exhorting the people. He says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." What was the purpose of being in the wilderness? To test them. To test them to find out what? If you will obey what he says. Do you realize he's still in that business of testing us to see if we'll obey what he says? Happens all the time. But we'll read on. It says, "He humbled you and he let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that comes from the mouth of God." There was a specific agenda that God had in the dealings of the people of Israel. "Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell for 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son." What is discipline about? It's about bringing us into maturity and our understanding. How many of you know that? I mean, we have got enough personal failures to fill volumes. And with each personal failure, we have some insight as to what God was trying to teach us in those situations. There are some people who will see what God has done and refuse to be taught by it. In teaching the disciples, he said to them, they ask him, "Why is it that you speak only in parables to the people?" You know, like, why don't you tell them the really good stuff? You know, the kind of things you say to us, man, they're just so awesome. Jesus says, "Well, understand this. Seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear. Neither do they understand. But to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now, what does it mean to say, seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear? It's simply the condition where someone has seen all they want to see, heard all they want to hear, and they don't want to be bothered anymore. It doesn't matter what the truth is, I know what my position is, and this is where I'm going to stand. One of the most clear illustrations of that is in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are hauled in before the Sanhedrin because they have said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Take up and walk." And the guy goes running and leaping and praising God through the city. And it causes quite a stir because they're maintaining that the reason this occurred is because Jesus, whom you killed, has been raised from the dead. And that's the reason this man stands before you whole today, because Jesus is alive from the dead. So the Sanhedrin calls and says, "You're not to speak like this anymore." Because they said there was nothing else they could do. They looked and saw that these men were unlearned, and standing right there was the proof. A notable miracle had been accomplished, and all the people were talking about it. And so the religious guys get in the background and say, "What are we going to do? You know, they keep this up, it's going to be worse than when he was here himself." So they come out and they straightly charge him. You're not to do this anymore in that name. You understand? We're the bosses here, and you're not to do that. And they said, "Well, you judge whether we should obey you or obey God." And so they beat him and put him out. Now that's what it's like when a person sees but will not see and hears but will not hear. One of the things that's characteristic of this congregation is that we're hungry to see and jealous to hear. And it distinguishes us in the Lord. And he has put his mark upon us because we have been willing to engage his manifest presence. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, we were looking at something that Moses was saying decades after he got engaged with God. The conclusions he was giving was after 8 decades of the manifest presence of God. How many of you know when a guy's hung around the presence of the Lord for 8 decades, he's got something to teach you? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back and look where God started with him. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 and see what it took for Moses to get into a situation where he was willing to spend 8 decades in the presence of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. I want to make note of Moses' pilgrimage as a human. We'll read a selection of verses here. In Exodus 3, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet the bush was not consumed. And so Moses said, I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up? And when the Lord saw that he turned to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, here I am. Chapter 4. Then Moses says, what if they'll not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said, what's that in your hand? And he said, well, it's a staff. And he said, well, throw it on the ground. And so he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And Moses fled from it. How many know that's a good plan? You know, all these years of shepherding, you've had this thing here. You've used it to ward off animals. You've pulled the sheep toward you. And all of a sudden the thing reaches out to bite you. It's time to get a new staff. And then, you know, it gets worse. He threw it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from it. The Lord said, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. Anybody know anything about picking up snakes? You do not pick them up by the tail. Why? That gives their head plenty of room to move. Now, you would think the creator of the universe would understand where to pick up a snake. But he says to Moses, pick him up by the tail. Now, he was already running away from it. Can't you just see this man of God? You know, in your mind, you walk, you know, Charleston Heston walks over there and he just picks it up. I don't think so. I think Moses is just as human as anybody else when it comes to snakes. And God has said there's enmity between you and the snake. Pick it up by its tail. And it became stiff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Well, what if they say God's not appeared to you? Well, then throw your staff down. It'll become a snake. And they'll believe I did appear to you. Somebody follow that line of reason and explain it to me. So the Lord said furthermore, now put your hand into your bosom. Now take it out. White with leprosy. Now put it in again. Now take it out. The flesh was made whole. You thought the hokey pokey was recently, didn't you? Put it in. You take it. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the second. But if they'll not believe even those two signs and heed what you say, then you'll take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, well, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the past, nor since you've spoken to your servant, for I'm slow in speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth. Don't you think that's an interesting phrase? I will be with your mouth. Hello, this is God talking. You think it'll work? I will be with your mouth. Read on. And teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. That's all very well and good, Lord, but I have an idea. Find somebody else. Amplified says, and he said, oh, my Lord, I pray you, send by the hand of some other whom you will send. It's not let's make a deal. God singled this guy out on purpose. He wasn't about to let him pick door number 3. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. You know, it's one thing for the bush to be burning. This is something entirely different now. The anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, is not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. And you're to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth. How many of you know this turns into trouble later on? It's got something to do with the golden calf. Moses not in town and they were used to listening to Aaron. And I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people. He will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. You will take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform signs. Now, this was the starting place for the Moses that we come to know over time. The one who comes down from the mountain and whose body is so attuned to the presence of the Lord that it has begun to shine in such a fashion that people can't look upon him and ask him if he put a rag across his face. One of the things that is necessary if we're going to live in the manifest presence of God is simple curiosity. Don't you want to know how this stuff works? Don't you want to know what it looks like? Don't you want to put your hand in there and feel it? Open your mouth and taste it? Don't you like it when the presence of God shows up and you kind of go, whoa? See, God gave us this body so that it can receive input. And it is possible to know the manifest presence of God through our physical body. From the very outset, Moses is captivated by what he sees. Now, understand something. He didn't look up, see a bush burning, and said, oh, burning bush, think I'll go over there. He looked up, saw a bush burning, and looked away. He looked back later, the bush was still burning. Sometime after they looked back and looked, no, there's not enough bush for it to be burning this long. I need to go take a look at this. Now, here's a guy who's been trained in the upper echelon of the education of Israel to search things out. He was on his way to being a ruler. God had prepared him specifically for this assignment, and it's just his nature to go say, now what is going on here? And so he turns aside out of curiosity to explore why this bush is burning and it is not burnt up. Now, I would submit to you the bush didn't just suddenly appear. The bush had been there all along, just like all the other brush out around where he was. And the bush was burning with something recognizable. Fire. What do you know about fire? You can see it. You can hear it. You can feel it. Usually there's smoke associated with it when brush is burning, but I suspect that wasn't the case here. Unless, of course, God needed to get in a signal, smoke signal to him, come over here. Or, you know, my blanket is on fire. Whatever the message was, he turned aside. How can this bush still be burning? Do you know that that would pique some people's curiosity and not others? I don't want to make that climb. You go look and come back and tell me. But there are those among us whose curiosity is piqued when we begin to see God do things. So much so, we begin to ask questions. We're not merely content to watch and go, yay God, golf clap, yay God. We're absolutely intrigued by it and compelled toward, because God has manifested something that our senses can perceive. Now then, I'm suggesting to you that the human body has the capacity to be trained to be sensitive to the supernatural realm. Many of you can give some type of testimony to that. Here we watch Moses, of whom we have no reason to believe that he's ever had such an encounter with God. And he comes and begins to ingest all this sensory input. And something begins to happen to him. He starts to be attuned to the sensation of what it's like to be in the presence of God. Now, how many of you have a sense that you have been tuned to a certain degree to the presence of God? Consider this with me. When those moments occur does it not embolden you to start looking around and see what's happening? Like the young man who's walking through the produce section, he's got his little basket on his arm and he's just shopping, and all of a sudden he's aware of the presence of God in the supermarket. And so he goes, God's here, God's up to something. So he starts walking around asking people, listen, do you need a miracle? God's here in the supermarket. No, I'm okay, fine, thank you. He goes after person after person after person. He comes to the front door. He's on his way out. Somebody's coming. He says, you, sir, do you need a miracle from God? Because God's here in the supermarket. He says, well, as a matter of fact, I do. I've had several back surgeries, and right this second, I am in pain. He prays for him. The guy is instantly healed. He begins to declare, hey, guess what, God did? You had your opportunity, but this man took it. Tell him. You know, a little crowd gathers, and some more people get saved. See, one of the things that God wants to do in tuning us to His presence is to cause us to be aware that, whoa, He's up to something. I have a great deal of curiosity about this kind of stuff. So much so that when I hear that God is doing something on the planet, it's my manner to go check it out. How many of you have ever received a secondhand bad report on the work of God? Secondhand bad report. Oh, you don't want to go over there. I'm telling you, those people are crazy. A friend of mine told me that somebody they knew went there and they said, it is not God. Now, I have difficulty believing this, what I'm about to say to you. But there are actually people who will tell you that when somebody walks up and exercises the name of Jesus over someone else's situation, and the situation has changed, they're healed, they're delivered, whatever it is, they will tell you, because it was one of those signs things, it's the devil. I have a hard time believing the devil runs around using the name of Jesus to get people healed. I just basically have a struggle with that. And so I've learned not to listen to those people. I've learned, rather, to get on an airplane, get in the car, and go to where it is and check it out myself. I did such a thing back in 1994, January of 1994. I called a friend of mine and said, listen, have you heard about this phenomenon? He said, yeah, I was thinking about going over there. I said, well, I am too. You want to go together? So we went and spent a week in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting at Carpenter's Church in Lakeland, Florida. I went for the specific purpose of trying to discern whether or not it was God, because I knew it was coming into our region, and I knew you and those who were with us at the time would be drawn to that stuff, and I needed to have a way to respond. Was it God or was it not? I spent the first couple of days just unable to get my mind around what I was looking at. But I knew it was the Spirit of God. How did I know? My spirit bore witness with Him that this was God. But my mind is going, because why would God do something like that? Or like that? Or like that? Or that? Or that? Or that? Or that? You know, it was like, blessed is he who's not offended in the way I do things. By the third day, I didn't care what my mind had to say. I wanted that. Whatever that was, I wanted to be touched by that, because apparently whatever it was changing people in their relationship to God. It was drawing them closer to Him. They were talking about a new love affair with Him. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for me. I fell in love with Christ at a dimension I did not know. Now I'm having an opportunity to get wet all over again. So my wife was with me. A couple of the ladies from the church had driven down. We came home to Prague on a Sunday morning and said, well, I went. Let me tell you what I saw. And we reported what we had seen and came to this conclusion. I don't know everything I should know about this, but I know it's God. Now, we'll pray and we'll see if God will do anything. On January the 16th, Sunday morning, 1994, we encountered God in this room right here in a dimension that we had never known Him collectively. And that phenomenon went on for about 10 months. So much so that after the second week, we decided to meet every day. Then we cut it back to 6 days a week, only two times a day. The joke got to be, well, we're going to stay home tomorrow. We've run out of clean underwear. Manifestation after manifestation of God. And when this thing had lifted we began to realize something about what God had done here. We had become attuned to His Spirit at a whole different level than we had ever known before. And of interest to me were some of the manifestations of God in human beings. For instance, it was common in that time when the manifest presence of God would come into the room, people would begin to shake. Some of them would just be standing all of a sudden. What you doing? You know, they look like they got Parkinson's. God's here. Well, how do you know? I know. One minute they're not, then they make, hey, you feel that? No, what? People began to laugh uncontrollably. You know, you got where you just had to preach over the laughter. And there's two kinds of laughter. There's the laughter that comes from the Holy Spirit, and there's the laughter that comes from watching people who are laughing in the Holy Spirit. Because they're really funny looking. And we found out that people would actually be so infused with the Spirit of God that they looked like they were on a drinking binge. How many of you have ever been around a drunk, a bona fide had too much drunk? How many of you have ever been? Well, never mind. But, you know, as an experienced sailor, I've been around a good number of drunks. And whether they're drunk on Jack Daniels or drunk on the Holy Spirit, they act the same. And it's just funny. And then there are those who you know, one of the things that season of time did for me was break me of my cynicism about Pentecostal manifestations. I used to have some real problems with those folks who on a Sunday, you know, whatever the meeting time was, you knew they were going to prophesy. And here's how you knew. One moment they're sitting there like a normal human being, the next minute it's... or whatever their deal was. And the next thing you know, it's, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I found out that there are some people, when the Lord tunes them, that's what they look like when they're tuned. And I went, aha, it's God. Those things are a challenge to my mind. But we came to understand that God could be touched. I remember multiple occasions where people are just laid out on the floor and cannot move. In fact, you could get two grown men down there, one tugging on each arm, and they wouldn't budge because they were glued to the floor. Now, what does glued to the floor mean? I don't know. We don't know how to talk about this stuff. But I found out something. When I went asking the Lord, I said, what is this deal? You know, come on, I need some answers here. I discovered that one of the definitions of the Hebrew word for glory is the word weight. As in, you get on the scale and check your weight. It's the heavy presence of God. And the folks who were under it, you know, they didn't feel bad about it. But those of us trying to clear the floor for more action just had to work around them because you could not move them. And they couldn't get up. You know, like, what is all that? What is that? You know, my mind's going, accessing, access denied. Exactly. But we were discovering that when God manifests His presence, different human creations respond differently to the same manifestation. You know, we don't know how to talk about this stuff, but I remember we got to talking about hot spots. Now, what is that? Scotty, beam me up in this spot kind of stuff. Hilton Garcia is a wonderful, wonderful man of God. And he, for a variety of reasons, guards his emotional life because he's not willing to be seen as a stereotypic emotional Hispanic. Now, I didn't make up that stereotype. It's just out there. I once got called of being a stereotypic Pentecostal emotionalism because I was weeping. I didn't know any Pentecostal. You know, I was just pastoring one of their churches. But remember, Hilton came to me in one of those times, and he's weeping to the point you can hardly understand what he's saying. And it comes out, Jesus is over there. And I gave him my basic response to that kind of announcement. Take me to him. And so it's somewhere over there, Jerry, Jan, Roe or so, somewhere over there. He leads me by the hand, and I'm just kind of walking along. Okay, here we go. Something's going on. And I step through an invisible veil and just begin to weep uncontrollably. And now I'm weeping with great gusto, but my mind is going, wow, this is interesting. I'm having an emotional catharsis with the Lord right here that I wasn't having right there. And so I step back at it. Oh, this is too weird. Because I stepped into something that undid my being. Well, there was a bunch of praying and stuff going on. And so I walked over. In fact, it was Dr. Prentice. He was praying for somebody. I said, Pete, listen. The Lord take care of this. Why don't you go to stand over there? Now, he told me later he was really upset with me when I pulled him off of what he was doing, because he was enjoying praying with those people. He said, well, I'll go because you say go. I said, where are you? Right over there. He goes, and he just begins to weep uncontrollably. I said, those of you that need healing, go over there. Well, that was the first of many such things. I mean, I remember picking my way over bodies all over the floor and just doing this, and all of a sudden I went, whoa. And it was like a silk scarf hanging there. You could run your hand into it and feel it. However, when you went into it, you could feel it that far. You know what I'm saying? No wonder people think I'm insane. How can you even talk about these things? We don't even know what we're talking about. But we do know this, that God is willing to communicate to those who want to pursue Him that His presence is a living reality. And once you get tuned to it, no matter where you are, you get to say, whoa, the Lord is here. It was common for me to just get up from my desk, head for my secretary, and step into the presence of God and just stop. Say, this can wait. Hello. You know, one of my dumbest, I had a, what do you call it? An intellectual pause. I was sitting at my desk. You know, at that time I was preaching 12 times a week, not knowing you could preach 12 times a week. But I was sitting at my desk preparing something, and all of a sudden, the Lord broke in on my consciousness, and I realized, oh, the presence of the Lord is here. And like the fool that I can be, I said, just a minute, let me finish this thought. Yo, where'd you go? I discovered something. The Lord does not like being put on hold. It's, I'm here now, let's do business now, or let's don't do business. You know what I'm saying? And it was such a lesson to me. From that point to this, if I go, whoa, he's here, whatever else is going on, forget it. In fact, we would try to have elders' meetings and trustees' meetings. They got to the point where I was afraid to open in prayer. Because if I prayed, we all get slain in the spirit. We all began to weep, you know. We'd be there in the presence of the Lord for 2 or 3 hours, and then it was time to go home, and we got nothing done. Now, just the way I say that is so stupid. We couldn't get anything done because God's presence was there. Oh. I'd rather live there than anywhere else. I'd rather do nothing in His presence than accomplish all kinds of things without His presence. But the interesting thing for me is that Moses was curious about this stuff, as are many of you. And I know you're curious about it because you're attracted to the spirit of this house. And this house is curious about the presence of God. You might not even know that's why you're here, but that's why you're here. Because there's something in you that yearns for more of Him. Because religion's not doing it for us. We are not people who see and don't see, hear and don't hear. We're listening and watching because we want Him. Now, that brings up a little problem. You see, I meant to tell you something when I mentioned that intoxication thing a while ago. I love going into countries where they try to convert their menu so English people can read it. I ordered a dish just because I was so amused at whatever it might be. I thought, well, never mind what I thought it was, but it said on the menu, salmon under intoxication. I just think that's really precious. You know, I've had salmon with whatever the sauce is they put on there, bourbon sauce, is that what they call it? Okay, I thought that might be it. It wasn't, but salmon under intoxication. I've had it. I can recommend it. This is my strongly held opinion, that it is curiosity about the Lord and His ways and His acts that compel many of us into the presence of God. We want to know Him and what He is doing. And God has graciously supplied us an atmosphere where He will both come, show, and tell. However, there's something else here I want you to make note of in verse 4. When the Lord saw that He turned aside to look. Now, we've talked about curiosity. Now I'm talking about the fact that if you're going to be in the manifest presence of God, you've got to manifest some courage. When the Lord saw that He turned aside to look, then the Lord spoke. Notice, God did not speak until He made sure Moses was going to be attentive. So many times we are in situations where God is beckoning to us, but not uttering a word until we put our antenna up and start looking into what He is doing. The situations arise all the time. They're not as glaring as a burning bush, but they are just as obvious to a spirit and mind that have been trained to observe where God is. And so He will give to us that sense of His presence just to alert us to, psst, I'm here. You want in? At that moment, you have to make a decision that you have probably made already. You have to remind yourself of it. I once told God, I'll be a fool for You. So, if I look foolish in this moment, I'm just, completing my obligation. What you doing? And He deals you into the hand. When the situation beckons to us. Now, I'm aware that there are those of you here this morning who have the ability to notice distress on the face of another person. Is that not true? When you see that, you have to ask yourself, am I going to represent the Lord in this situation? One of the things you don't ask yourself is whether or not I need to pause and pray about whether or not I need to get involved in this situation. Why is that? Because the Lord has trained your eye to see. And it's not so you can walk around ignoring opportunities. It's so you can walk into the opportunity and see what God will say. Because when you turn aside to look into it, that's when God speaks. How many of you know that to be true? It's after you get engaged in the thing. And we already know we're free to make a demand on the anointing. We already know that. We've been through that ground before. Now that we have been trained to see, we go into the situation, and that requires a certain amount of courage. The next thing I want you to notice is that when God spoke, Moses did not flee. How many of you know that it's possible when God speaks to be so terrified about what He might say that the easiest thing to do is just run away? Now, we might not call it running away. We might call it praying to make sure. And the moment we do that, our brain begins to engage us on its agenda about, you could make us look really bad here. And it begins to defend itself. You know what I think we should do? We should probably go ask counsel of someone before we get involved in this situation. I tell you what, let's drive around the block and just pray. And if they're still here when we come back the third time, we'll know it's God. And then I'll go with you. That's what your mind will do. Your soul will jump in there. There is a fellow that I'm pressing to get close to. We're just playing phone tag right now, but we've been spoken well of by mutual friends to one another. And so he and I have a destiny of meeting. But he tells the story of this woman in his congregation who every morning takes her child to school, gets behind the wheel, and away they drive. And there was a season where every single morning at the same moment in her journey, a Mercedes would exit the same driveway and start to follow her for several blocks. Eventually, God is patient, eventually it dawned on her, there's no such thing as circumstance in the life of one devoted to the Lord. And so it occurred to her, what I need to do is pull to the side of the road and flag this vehicle down. So she does. Mercedes lowers his window, and there's another mother sitting there. She says, don't you think it's odd that for the last number of mornings, every time I come by your house, you're pulling out at the same time and follow me? She goes, you know, I had started to notice that, and I thought, isn't this unusual? That became the conversation that led to weekly coffee and to a friendship, whereby she was able to lead that wife and mother, her husband and children to the Lord. But it's my opinion that to pull over to the side of the road and flag down a vehicle takes a certain amount of courage. You know, you don't know what's going to be on the other side of that darkened window. What if it was a terrorist? What if they were going to kidnap your child for, you know, the ransom of your $1,800 you'd finally saved in the last 20 years? You know, all kinds of stupid things will enter your mind. But once she understood that this was a God thing, that there was no way in the world for this to be happening every morning unless God be in it, she was emboldened to turn aside and see what the Lord might do. There's one more dynamic in this story I want to point out to you. And it has to do with not curiosity or courage, but the contribution that you have to make if you're going to have access to the manifest presence of God. There comes a point in the conversation where God says to Moses, what's that in your hand? Now, what was in his hand? The staff. So he said, well, it's the staff. But what was it? It's what he had. And God did something interesting. He said, throw it down on the ground. And God put his power on what Moses had in his hand and changed the nature and authority of that symbol from that point forward. And as you read through the stories, you begin to find that that staff is called the rod of God. Because once it gets devoted to the Lord, he changes the destiny of the instrument to represent the destination he's taking you. Well, what if you don't have a staff? What if you say, you know, I don't have anything to give the Lord. I don't have any talents. I can't sing. I can't write. I can't serve. I can't do anything. Well, what do you have? Well, I got empty hands. Guess what God can do with an empty hand? Put it in the air. Take it out. What you got? Whoa! Put it in here. Take it out. What you got? Whew. He can take your empty hand and make it a sign. He can make it a testimony of his presence. And the two signs and the third one were given for a specific reason, to confirm and validate the message. This, if they won't believe this one, and they won't believe this one, they'll believe that one. And what were they designed to authenticate? God has sent me, and this is his message. He wants to lead you out of the place of bondage and set you free. Without that, we're like the vacuum cleaner salesman who comes to the door, and he's got a bucket of dirt in his hand. And they open, he rings the bell, they open the door, and he slings the dirt by them into their foyer. Hopefully there's enough to spill over in the two rooms on either side. And he says, I'm here to sell the vacuum cleaner of all vacuum cleaners. The vacuum cleaner is so powerful, you've got to move pets and children from the room before you light it off. And I can see you've got some dust here and debris in your house, but this vacuum cleaner will take care of it. I'm telling you what, If you ever feel like you want to clean that up, here's my card, give me a call. He walks away. To come and tell people that Jesus will deliver them, Jesus will set them free, Jesus will heal them, and not ask God to do it on the spot is to be just like that vacuum cleaner salesman. Of course they want to be set free. Of course they want their pain to go away. Of course they want peace. Of course they want to know the reality of God. And He has given you hands to represent Him in that moment. All it takes is a little courage. All it takes is just a tweak of curiosity. I wonder if He'll do it through me. Saturday a week ago, I did what I do. I had a bunch of reluctant healers up on the platform, standing in front of people who desperately wanted to be healed. And this one young woman caught my eye, because there was clearly manifesting in her a desperate desire to know the reality of God and His power. And so I taught them what a body check was. The Lord gave her a particular word of knowledge. Somebody out there identified, yeah, that's me. She went out and God touched them. The next time I look up, she's just standing out there like this, smiling and crying, smiling and crying, smiling and crying. And I called her back up, worked with her through the interpreter. She had always, always wanted to know if God would do it through her. In the circumstances of the Lord, I preached Sunday morning 9:30, Sunday afternoon 5 o'clock, and 7 p.m. in another, all three different locations. And when I got to the 7 p.m. thing, who's leading the worship but this little girl? It was just precious. And that night, I taught her to prophesy. And she began to get things from God and declare it to this little congregation of 20 people on a military base outside the city. But I'm telling you, you'd have thought Jesus had come when you looked at her countenance. There is inside God's people a yearning to know His reality, His power. And He is not disposed to frustrate that desire. He wants to train our bodies to know His presence so that immediately within us, there's this rush of expectancy. Oh, God's here. You feel that? Or do you smell that? Or do you see that? Or do you taste that? Or do you sense that? This body is supposed to be an antenna for His presence. It's not supposed to be that we walk around in some blind hope that God may show up. We have had some interesting phenomenon occur in this congregation, the sort of thing that makes you scratch your head and go, well, it's got to be God. There's no other explanation for it. And one of the more interesting ones has to do with this thing we call the fragrance of the Lord. Now, don't you rather imagine that wherever Jesus is, it smells good? And sometimes the veil between time and space and eternity gets so thin, you catch the aroma of the other side. How many of you have ever smelled the presence of the Lord? Just throw your hands up and let other people look around and notice. Okay? Well, we had an unusual experience some time ago through this particular intercessor, and I've asked her to share about it.
I came to church one Sunday morning, and from the time I walked in until the time I left, I kept smelling this medicine-y smell. And it smelled like an antiseptic kind of a thing to me. And nobody else around me smelled it. And after the service, I went to lunch with Rhonda. And we were sitting in the restaurant. And I said, I keep smelling this medicine-y smell. And she's like, no, I don't smell anything. And we sat there for about an hour and a half. And as the lunch progressed, the smell grew stronger and stronger. And eventually, she could smell it. And she actually said it didn't smell medicine-y to her. It smelled more like a fragrance. And I never actually smelled the same thing that other people smelled. But from that day on, every time I would start praying, that fragrance would come. And often, you know, because it was on me, I wouldn't even smell it. I just became used to it. But I would often walk into a room or something and people would say, what is that smell? And it would be all over my arms. And it still happens occasionally, not as frequently, but on occasion as I'm praying, that fragrance will come.
The fragrance would come upon her, and you could take her forearm and smell this lovely, lovely fragrance. And it happened when she began to pray. Well, you know, us being the kind of people we are, we just kind of huddle around her when she'd pray and just sniff. Because it's a testimony to the presence of God. Now, how many of you have ever seen something in the Spirit? Just throw your hands up and let's just look around and see. Because you're also able to see. You've been given eyes to see the kingdom. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom. But you can also develop that sight. And I've asked Rhonda to share something about that.
Well, when it first started happening, it was like you were, it would just be a very, very slight image on your peripheral vision. Very easy just not to pay attention. But as I began to realize that these images of either seeing what was happening else in the room other than what we would see with our natural eye, or seeing something prophetically that the Lord wanted to communicate about another person, as I began to pause and look, not with the physical eye, but it's looking with a spiritual eye, and it's almost like you're looking into your peripheral where you can't really see in your peripheral vision in the natural, but it's looking in the spirit. I began to be able to see things, and then I began to see a natural, a reaction to what I was seeing in the spirit, and I began to get the clue, oh my gosh, I really am seeing something, because here it is being played out in the natural. So that's what seeing was like.
Early on in experience with Rhonda as a seer, she would bring me drawings of the angels that she had seen, the objects they were holding. She'd see one dancing in a certain fashion, and right before her eyes, some human being up here would begin to dance in the same fashion as the angel, mimicking what was being done in the spirit by impulse here in time and space. Now, these are interesting stories, don't you think? But they have a common theme. And that common theme is the manifest presence of God. In this hour, we happen to be living when God is investing Himself in His people at a higher level of awareness than I'm aware of since the visitation in 1906. And it seems to be broad and sweeping. Everywhere I go, I find God showing up to impact His people with the reality of His presence. And so I want to ask the Lord to do some things this morning. Would that be fun? I know sometimes I get in trouble when I use the word fun, but I want you to know something. As far as I'm concerned, being in the things of God, hanging out with the Holy Spirit, seeing Jesus heal people is the greatest fun I know in life. It brings delight to my soul. It inspires my spirit. There is nothing that I have found to date that brings me any greater satisfaction than being able to help some other human being connect with God and have His power move through them. I could sit there and talk and watch all day long as the Lord just awakens in them His reality. That's my passion. That's what I do. That's what I live for. So I have faith for that. And one of the interesting things is, it appears to me, I can communicate that faith to other people. And they begin to, well, yeah, I'd like to. Could I? And then God comes and they go, I'll never wash this hand again. Because they have become awakened to His presence. Now then, I'm going to understand now, we're talking about the supernatural God. He does not do on cue what we ask Him to. But He's made it clear that there are some things in heaven that He would like to have manifest on earth. And the reality of His presence is one of them. So if I ask Him something according to His will, I know that I will get it. Now with every head up and every eye open, I'm going to ask God to do something very specific. And you're going to know when He does it. And when He does it, I just want you to stand as a testimony. Yep, 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 Okay? Can you do that? Now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to cause you to become aware of His presence. Now, when I do that, many of you are going to experience something. There's going to be a tingling on the back of your neck. There's going to be a sudden sense of kind of an energy that's happening around you. It can come in a number of ways. But when that happens, I don't want you to do anything other than just simply stand up as a testimony that you are experiencing God. Now, if you're one of those folks who have difficulty connecting with the Lord, it's okay for you to close your eyes and not be distracted by the fact that, well, how come those 12 are and I'm not, Lord? Because, how come you don't love me the way you love? Don't go there. You're just not tuned, that's all. And we will help you today. Today we will help you get tuned. So that you, as you walk through your life, you get to go, whoa, did you feel that? The Lord's here. And it won't be the air conditioning. Okay? Now, I know that it is God's will that whatever's going on in heaven would be going on down here. Because He said, pray like this, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. So I'm free to say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask right now that the Holy Spirit would begin to manifest Himself in such a fashion that they would know they're being touched by You. In Jesus' name, I release that. Now, as you become aware of it, whoa. Whoa. Hello. Oh, goody. Oh, this is a strong one. Thank You, Father. Thank You. As you begin to sense the manifest presence of the Lord, just stand. More, Lord. Right on this side here. I just pick out this side right here. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You. You don't need to strain now. You don't need to strain. It comes gently and it's genuine and it's real. Father, I ask You to touch that little girl right back under with Your presence. You know who she is. I know who she is, and she'll know in a moment. Just sweep over her with Your sensation. Now then, I'm going to come over to this side and ask the same thing. The Lord, just release the intensity of Your presence among Your people right in this section so that they'll know that they are experiencing You, the manifest presence of You. Just awaken it in them now in Jesus' name. I recall an engineer. God bless us. We've got so many wonderful engineers here. They're such fun when it comes to the supernatural because their brain has just been welded shut toward those things, and their spirit cries out for it. And so they have some consternation. But we had an engineer sitting over here one day, and we compared notes after the fact, but the scenario went something like this. He's saying, Lord, I desperately want to know what it's like for Your presence to touch my being. But the truth is, I wouldn't know You from the air conditioning. Now, he's praying this in his mind, and suddenly, without any provocation of my own, I said, the Lord's presence is fixing to enter this room from this side, and it's going to sweep across like this from my right to my left. And just like that, the presence of God hit him, and he went, oh. Now, all of that, I'm standing there wondering, why am I saying this? I'm saying it because this man is having a conversation with God. He wants to know something, and God showed him right there on the spot. Now, doesn't that sound like a father to you? Alrighty. Now, I've done this before. I don't think I've ever done it here. But I would like to ask those of you who are standing, if you're willing, only if you're willing, to come up here and let us show God in a particular way. All that will be required of you is that you simply stand here in a particular order, formation that I'll give you. But if you're willing, just to bring that presence with you and stand here, just come up here now. I want two lines of you. I want two lines of you. So just kind of pair off. And I want a corridor. is what I want. I want you to face someone several feet apart. Now, I'm pretty sure I've never done this here, but for those of you who would like to experience the touch of God, all I want you to do is just come walk between these people. Okay? Just go around that way and walk between them. And those of you who are standing, hang on just a second. Those of you who are standing here, I just want you to reach out and touch your fingertips together. Hold them up like an archway. Okay? You have nobody? Well, I'm thoroughly aware of the presence of the Lord. We'll do this. And I just invite you to start coming, walking through here. And y'all watch and see what God will do. Lord, we welcome. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Father, for the testimony of your presence. We welcome the fire of God, Lord, and your impacting presence on the spirit of your people in Jesus' name. I'm not going to lose you, am I? Now, are you guys through partying over there? Now, there seems to be a certain measure of elation up here among the tunnel people. Did you notice the surges that would come? I mean, it's like when certain people passed in front of you, it's like God was just trying to reach out and grab them. How many of you who came through here not experiencing the presence of God before you came up felt His touch? I would expect more than that the next time we do this. But there was something. Do you see how attainable these things are? Do you understand what I'm saying? They're not far away. They're not far away. Now, how about this line here coming up on the platform behind me? The outer line, okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to do here? To show you that God is not far away. That there are things that He will do on our behalf to confirm to us the reality of His presence. For instance, these guys here, many of them are fixing to get a word of knowledge. Okay? We've got two rows of people up here who say, I sense the presence of God. And I know every week that we gather out here there are needs that God wants to touch. And so we stop to give Him an opportunity to be God to you. All right? So, until we flow in this naturally, we're just going to keep doing body checks. Close your eyes, check out from your scalp down to your feet. Ignore any pain that you have with you. When you're done, look at me, and I'll know that you're through with the check. In fact, I asked somebody about this the other day, and we waited and waited and waited and waited. And I finally said to the interpreter, tell them we don't need to check every cell in their body. Right now, when you're through, go ahead and look at me so I know we can continue. If you have a sore shoulder, that's not a word of knowledge. You have a sore shoulder. But if you don't have anything wrong with your shoulder and God does bring a pain to your shoulder, that means He wants to minister to someone out here in this congregation through you in this moment. And what will happen is He will awaken some distress in your body that parallels, mirrors what's going on in theirs. And when you say, the Lord is, I have a pain in my shoulder, whoever out here has it is going to go, oh my God knows who I am. And faith is going to rise up in them. And then when you pray for them, because they've responded to what God has already shown you, faith is going to arise in you. And so both of you come in an increased faith, and both of you get edified. The Lord does never waste an opportunity to encourage more than one person at a time. All right. Now, this is very simple. I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, manifest in these bodies the point of affliction that is in these bodies that you wish to heal today. Now, in Jesus' name. All right? So as soon as you've got it, go ahead and indicate to me that you've got it, and we'll start praying. What you got? Racing heart, heart palpitations. Who is that? Okay, come on up here, the two of you. I tell you what, once you go to them, it's going to get crowded up here. What have you got? Tightness in the chest. Who is that? Tightness in the chest, right over here. Please go to that woman. You, sir. Particularly in the hands. You've got distress in your hands, but also perhaps in your feet. Who is that? All right, sicker. And you, sir?
Lower back pain, about the second vertebrae up.
Lower, from the bottom? Lower back pain, about the second vertebrae up from the bottom. Here you go. Go pray for that woman over there. There she is. Go to her. Who else? Yes, sir.
Sinus
problems. Is that what it, you said, sinus? Who's got the sinus deal going on? Boy, that's a treat. Who is that? There's one, and there's one. All right, why don't the three of you get together? Come on over here, dear. This young fella and Jerry will come to the two of you. What else we got up here? Linnea? There's a sense of heaviness about your life at the moment. You feel the weight of things. Who is that? That's you, and here, these two folks. Go get them. Are you Millie? Pain in the right knee. Who's experiencing pain in the right knee? Where are you? Right here. Okay. Don't have to go far. This one?
Pain in the eye that could cause pain in the temple right here.
Pain in the eye that... I'm sorry? Pain in the left eye that feels like it causes pain in the temple. Who is that? Pain in the left eye. Where are you? Don't be bashful. God's got something good for you. You've got pain in the eye. Where is that? Vision problems are fine. Don't listen. Don't think that the Lord... You know, he's only got so much stuff to portion out. We've got to be careful who gets it. If we're anywhere close, go ahead and give God an opportunity to heal you. I mean, these are just starting points. It's like, you pitch the stone of the word of knowledge into the water and the reverberations begin to start. Once the anointing gets flowing, anything can happen. Who else? Woman with pain in the right breast and underarm area. Who is that? Over here. Go to her. Wait.
I got shaky legs.
Shaky legs. Who's having difficulty with shaky legs? That sensation of tremoring, of weakness. Hold on to that. Yes, ma'am. A weakness or heaviness in the arms. Who is that? You're having difficulty in the muscle stuff? Is it muscle stuff? Shaking in the arms. Who's having trouble in that area of their body? If your hand is up and I don't see you, please stand because I can't get my eyes everywhere. Okie dokie. In the alcove over there? All right. Go to her and pray for her. Who else? Yes, sir.
Hearing in the right ear.
Who's having difficulty with hearing in the right ear? Okay. Go to that person. Who else? You? All right. Someone is experiencing distress in your body, the right-hand side, kidney area, did you say?
Abdominal region.
I'm sorry, in the abdominal region. You're not sure if anything's there, but you're afraid something might be there. In the alcove? Okay. Go to her. Did you have some? A spirit of condemnation. No matter what you do, you're not good enough. It preys upon you. It's a spirit. Who's under condemnation? All right. There's a couple. Go get them.
Fingers?
What kind? You have some kind of tightness or distress in the fingers of your hands. Who is that? Okay, there you go. Go get him. Back of the neck? Somebody's having difficulty in the neck? That's you? Follow her. No, wait a minute. Let's don't do that, Joe. You also, you pray for her. Anita, I want to know when you're through praying for him if your neck is healed, just because you're praying, okay? What else? What pain? Stomach pain. Who's experiencing stomach pain? You'd like not to take that home with you. Stomach pain. Do you know somebody who's a pain in the stomach? Just hang on to that. Anything else? No? Feet?
That's what he had said before. Yeah, that's what I come to my mind was feet.
All right, well, go pray with them then.
Okay.
You come here. Anything over here? Okay, that's all right. Don't be condemned by that, okay? Come here, all four of you. Or five of you. Did you just pray for somebody?
Yeah,
done. Okay, then you can go sit down. You guys come here. All right. Now, one of the things I don't want is for you to have the sense that God's leaving you out of these things. We're just going to ask him again. Father? Father, there's more stuff here, and these folks desperately want to be used. They presented themselves, not knowing they were, but they have. And I ask you right now to manifest your word of knowledge through them for the benefit of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. So do another check. Let me know what you get. Now, folks, for so long, we have felt like this kind of stuff was reserved for somebody special. The guy up front, the guy on TV, you know, the woman who prays 16 hours a day, et cetera, et cetera. But listen, you have the Spirit of the living God on deposit inside of you. You carry eternity with you into every situation. You have access to the mind of God. These simple little things, which, you know, some people would accuse us of playing parlor games or parlor tricks or, you know, inducing power suggestion kind of stuff. But you know the reality of God. You know his presence. And this stuff is with you 24/7. What we need is to let our minds be transformed by what we see and experience in God. Don't think it's just for the Sunday morning meeting. Now then, who among you who had tangible distress before someone prayed for you can now say the tangible distress is gone? Just raise your hands. Stand up and testify.
I could just feel it was like someone was pouring a real oil, warm oil or water, not hot, just very comforting. And I could just feel it pouring down my head, over my shoulders, and dripping off my arms. And I have no pain right now whatsoever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I submit to you that's evidence. That's evidence of the supernatural realm. One moment it was gone, in the name of Jesus, moment next, it's not there. What does that tell you? Christ is resurrected from the dead. Who else? Who else has got a change in the circumstances that you can authenticate in this moment? We pray for 24 people. We have one testimony, or the cat got your tongue? Is that it? Thank you. You know, thankfulness is one of the keys to seeing God unleash his power in greater dimension.
For about a month now, I've had trouble with my right shoulder, some type of muscle spasm that's there all the time. And when I came in this morning, it was there and it's gone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your Lord is concerned about these things. Disease does not come from heaven. Sickness does not come from heaven because there's not any there. We've got to get our heads fixed. Who else? I know you're reluctant, but who else, for heaven's sakes? If Jesus has done it, say so. That's it. I'm sending you to lunch. Oh, okay. Never mind. You've been saved by the testimony.
I mean, it didn't happen just right now, but I don't really need a microphone. But.
Sure you do. They can't hear you.
So I'm long-winded, so my wife's going to have to make sure I'm short.
I'll help.
I knew Lanny would. Oh, I don't know, a couple months ago, I'm bad with time. Had to get my thyroid scan, my throat scan. They told me there was one or two things growing in there. And, you know, those who know me and I've spoke to about it, I was a little worried. Cancer's in my family. So my family has passed with it. And they had told me at one point that that was a possibility. So I had to get off thyroid medicine, and, you know, the doctors, they make you wait. So I had to wait a month before I could test it again, because whatever this medicine is, to get that out of me. And so then I had three more scans, but radiology. And all three scans a month later showed that there was nothing there.
I'm going to pray over your head. Father, we know that curse has been announced here and verified again today. And I break the power of that thought process in the name of Jesus. For the King of Glory has decreed that we are free in Him. I plead the blood of Christ, and I break the power of that curse over my brother's mindset in Jesus' name. We rejoice in your healing. We stand in the confidence that we shall not perish prematurely, but shall fully finish the course you've appointed for us in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Yes, ma'am.
This wasn't today, but it was probably last February. I had kidney stones, and I had gone to see a urologist, and he said that by looking at the x-rays that we'd have to take them out if they hadn't moved. So I got prayed with Brian, and when I went to take the next x-ray, they couldn't find them.
Hallelujah.
And no pain.
And
I mean,
no pain.
I never, you know, passed them. I don't know what happened.
All right. If you don't mind, we'll have a testimony time for just general testimony sometime, but I'd really like to know what the Lord did this morning. Okay? I'm trying to make a point here. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to share, because you had talked about it before, when you first asked us to stand up and observe the presence of the Lord, that then and since then, I've had several waves of the fragrant spikenard come rolling by, which is not something normally a person would wear as a perfume in the room, so it must be God.
Spikenard.
It's a very strong, pungent, cinnamony.
Thank you, because I had no idea what a spikenard is. But apparently it smells really good. It is my quest to try to deliver us from the sense that God is far away and these things are difficult. People you know and are in fellowship with are leaving here today in a better condition than when they arrived here today, because Jesus has come by and touched them through your hands. That's a good day in church. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
Lord, gave me an impression about earlier when we were worshiping. I didn't know whether to say this or not, but I've kind of seen how it kind of fits in. I had an impression that the Lord was sitting behind a person as a man, and he put a crown on his head, and he looked back to the Lord like, you know, what do I do now? You know, you've crowned me, and in the scripture came on that He's made us kings and priests, and that He wanted us to begin to rule in the places that He put us. And that he was holding up the light. He says, don't put it under a cover. Let your light shine before men. And the other thing that came was, I want you to reflect my glory. And after Lanny said what he said, the word glory began to make a difference as far as what, not just, you know, reflecting God's image, but the weight of who He is there where you work. And that also that He was going to reveal things to the light that He was having there, and that as you, and you ask Him also how to work and to begin to rule in your places, the Lord is saying, well, you need to begin to pray for those that are in leadership where you work and the people around you, and then begin to watch what happens.
Anything else?
Came back here and like tingling in the left hand.
The left hand, trouble in the wrist and the tingling. Who is that? There's one other thing I want you to note. regarding the manifest presence of God. Once your body becomes attuned to His presence and becomes addicted to His presence, your physical body will ache for His presence.